Open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 148. Psalm chapter 148. This is what I call part two of the series on angels. I anticipate 4 weeks on this. Last week was a broad introduction. We really just looked at, you know, the number of times angels had appeared and interacted with men or women. And it was less than 40 across the Old and New Testament. 4,100 years. That was fascinating to me because of all of the times you see angels mentioned in the news today. I think we've had 40, Yahoo mentions over that in the last 6 months. And they were all to noteworthy people. We saw, you know, what angels are. They're created beings. They were present at the creation. They are spirit beings. We don't know how many there were, but we do know this, that there is more than 100 million surrounding the throne of God. That's pretty impressive when you see that. We also saw that they're always referred to in the masculine. And so there are there female angels? We can't find that in the Bible. Two kinds of angels, holy elect angels, those are being the same. Those are the good angels. And so thank you, Abby, for having that up there. That's Abby's on it. That's good. Bonus points today. And then there's the sinful or fallen angels, though we don't see the word fallen in the Bible, but you've heard of that often. And so those are those. And then the unique angels, we see cherubims and seraphims. And that kind of answers that question about do all angels have wings? Doesn't appear that way, but cherubims and seraphims do, Satan being the most prominent of the cherubims. And the Bible calls him a cherub, if you were wondering, in Ezekiel. We're going to look at Satan and everything involved with him. I say everything. Oh, that would be impossible. But we're going to try to have it to be one message so that we see the beginning, we see his tactics, we see his end, and we see that that comes as a fallen angel, what he has done, how he's influenced our entire world, and all of that. And then the fourth week we'll deal with the controversial topics dealing with angels, and I may leave you wanting. So I use this word, I make sure, when I say the word dogmatic, some that have been in church know that, but I find that some that haven't been in church don't. They're like, what do you mean? I mean, you know, that we can, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt, you know, not bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't ever lie. It's never right to lie. I'll be dogmatic about that. I can pound the pulpit. And I've sure pounded that one like a wimp, didn't I, today? Like, and because it was metal, and I was like feeling sorry for myself. I'm like, I don't want to hit that hard. And but we'll look at the controversial topics. But this afternoon, I want to look at the activities of angels. And here's why. It's just part of understanding what in the world do they do. But I think if we can look at it this way, and the Bible doesn't necessarily tell me this, but the Bible doesn't tell us much about what we'll do once we get to heaven, does it? We're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to praise the Lord, and we'll see that the angels do that as well. But I do believe that knowing what the angels do would give us insight on what we might do. And so we're going to look at their activities. That's simply what we'll look at this afternoon. And then we'll look at the devil next Sunday evening. In Psalm chapter 148, verses 1 and 2, let's look at this. It says here, verse 1 and 2, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Listen to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The angels that were mentioned in verse 2. Then Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The first thing, and it's not in any necessarily order, the first thing I'll bring up this afternoon is the angels praise God. And so I want to encourage you. It is not that I go around looking. I don't. Here's why I look. I love this. I absolutely love this. I believe this. This is a little unfair. And I get it. I get it. Some of you don't know the songs. That's okay. So it's not like I'm really paying attention that much. But here's what I conclude. This is, okay, you're going to say, oh, this is bad. It's not. Just so you know, as a pastor, I need to be sensitive. I need to understand when you're struggling. Do you know that? And you guys, you don't miss church. So, you know, it's not like if you miss church, you know, that's be like, something ain't right. But not that I'm here to beat you up, but just understand this. That's my job. My job is to care for you. My job isn't to say, ooh, something's the matter with you. You're terrible. No, that's not my job, right? But my job is to know if something's wrong so that I can help you. You understand that's the job of a shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd. Christ is the great shepherd. But so when I stand back there, and I love to sing, I want you to hear me sing it. I sing loud, because if I don't sing loud, why should you sing? I believe everything I do will impact you, just because that's the way God's designed us. But what I do is I watch. Mark Shan, I love this. You were singing out today. It was good, at least when I was watching you. And I wasn't looking for you any reason in particular. But you were really singing. And I don't remember when I looked at you before to see if you were singing, but I love that you were singing with enthusiasm. So you get a check mark if I was a teacher today for singing enthusiastically, right? And so remember this. The angels, one of their key roles is to praise the Lord. And so, you know, I know this is that, you know, some new believers, right? They're like, I don't know these songs. I don't know how to sing, but it's very important to me. I know this. When we get right with the Lord, we will sing and praise the Lord. And so I love that. And so, you know, I'm teaching people that, and it's good, and they receive it well. Amen. It's good. That's good, but it's praising the Lord. So I want you to know this. I will tell you this. I remember when I was a teenager, I never used to sing. I think I've told you this story before. I had an old Sunday school teacher, and he was absolutely the worst singer I've ever heard in my life. Bar none. I know you think there's competition out there, but there's not. If we had, you know, America non-idol, he would have won it. And he was terrible, so he sang a solo in front of our church one day, in front of our Sunday school class one day. So I went to a large church. So it was a large 7th grade. It was like over 100 boys. They split them boys, and we had over 100 boys. So it was big. And he sang a solo. Oh, I mean, the dogs were howling, and we didn't have dogs at church. And so it was bad. And then he said, fellas, he said, I want you to know. He said, I want you to find one scripture that says, because you can't sing, you shouldn't praise the Lord. And he said, I use this as an excuse all my life. And he said, I missed out on the blessing of praising God. Praising God with my voice. Praising Him with my lungs. You know, there's many ways we can praise the Lord, but I'm dealing with this specific one, that we rejoice in the Lord and we praise Him with our voices and our lips. And again, when I look, it's not because I'm like, ooh, bad person. I just look and say, well, they may be discouraged. It's a little harder to sing when you're discouraged, right? But I will tell you this. When you sing, when we obey God, it makes a difference. And so I want you to know this. It's okay. I've been there. I've been there where I thought it was okay. And I actually searched the scriptures because he challenged us. He said, find me one verse that says you don't have to sing if you can't sing. And I said, surely there's a verse there. Otherwise, everybody would be wearing head coverings. Okay, bad joke. Anyway, so I searched the scriptures and I couldn't find it. And so the angels praise God, and I think we do. We should as well. I'll try to keep in the similar. Look over to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. The second one is worshiping God. So they praise God and they worship God. And that's different. Can praising God be part of worship of God? It absolutely can. But I do believe there's a nuance there that worship of God. Remember, I've told you this, the word worship means to declare the worth of. Whatever you worship, you're declaring the worth of that, right? People that want to worship sports stars, that's their love, that's their idol. They're declaring worth to them. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6 says again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Listen to Revelation chapter 5. Listen to verse 11. It says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy. See, that's the concept of worship. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them that are therein, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. I want you to know this. Are you bored with the things of God? I think you'll be bored in heaven then. And I know it can get routine. it can become boring. I think that's because preachers are boring. I think we present it in a boring way. There's nothing boring. It's exciting to worship the Lord. It's exciting to praise the Lord. It's exciting to lift that up. And if we think it's anything less than that, then we don't understand truth. Because I think we'll be doing that. I will tell you this. I don't know, you know, eternity doesn't have years, but if you allow me to, I think for millions of years, we'll be praising and worshiping Him and it won't get old. I think if this was it, all the angels do is praise and worship God, that would be enough and that would be a wonderful life. Because to no end, do you really appreciate what Jesus has done? And so my whole point is, I think we need to do that just a little bit more here. We need to declare His worth. Tell other people about Him. One of the great ways. Do you hear all this? It says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. These are angels singing this. He wasn't slain for the angels. There was no redemption plan for the angels. But they're singing it. If someone can sing it, that it doesn't really impact them, how much more should we lift Him up, that it's impacted us? The only way we go to heaven is because He was slain. But the angels sing that. Third thing I want you to see, and none of these are rocket sciences, they are serving God. Look over to Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103. A trick I like to help people, you know, that just open your Bible to the middle and you'll probably hit one of the 150 chapters of Psalms. So Psalm 103:20. Just so you know, anybody that I have a Bible study with, if you want to memorize the 66 books of the Bible, I'll help you do that. There's a family I do that with that's never been to church yet, and I've been having a Bible study with them for about 9 weeks, and it's a great time, and it's so fun. It's so fun to watch a 41-year-old dad let up Leviticus. First time Leviticus? I said, well, I'll make you want you. It's Leviticus. It was good. And then I'm trying to teach him. So it's fun. So I think it's important. But Psalm 103:20 says, bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. They are doing His commandments. Listen to Revelation chapter 22, verse 9. It says, then saith He unto me. This is when John, the revelator in Revelation, he was almost ready to bow and worship. And this was an angel. You know this wasn't Jesus. This was an angel. Thus saith he unto me, see thou do it not. Don't bow down and worship me, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. So angels are fellow servants. They do His commandments. And so I do believe this gives us a little insight. We will be doing the commandments of God. We will be fellow servants with the angels, though we will judge. We will rule over angels. The Bible tells us that. And so we will... They serve the Lord. Look over to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Just one book before Psalms. They appear before God. There's some accountability. And it is interesting, you know, just this keeps us from being ridiculous with truth. Does God know all things? Absolutely. But He's interested in fellowship and interaction, right? I couldn't know everything because I'd be like, no need. Save it. Nick, forget it. Got it. You know, it would not be. God doesn't want that. He wants us to interact with Him. And so they appear before God. And so we'll deal with this, whether these sons of God are angels or not. I'm giving you a little hint that I think they are angels. Job chapter 1 verse 6 says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. Look down at chapter 2 verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And so, we appear before God, the angels do. I believe that's angels, and I'll give you the options next week, or 2 weeks from now. If the sons of God are not angels, then they're believers. So, either the angels or believers appear before God, and there's accountability. There'll be no sin when we leave this earth. When we get rid of this flesh, there'll be no more sin. But see, understand this. When people go to hell, the second death, remember? The resurrection of the dead, they go to hell with these bodies. You understand that? They go to hell in their sins. Their bodies will be resurrected, and they're cast into hell with these old bodies. They will be in eternity with this flesh for the rest of their life. We will not. we will go, our souls will be in heaven, and then the resurrection of life will, our bodies will be renewed and glorified, but it is, there will be an appearance. So we will be accountable. At least the angels are. They appear before God, and I think we will as well. Look over to 2 Kings chapter 19. A fifth one. I'll keep rolling. They deliver God's judgment. Now here's the beautiful thing. That won't be one of our jobs. Why will that not be one of our jobs? How do I know that won't be our job? There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more judgment. When death and hell are cast into the lake of fire and the devil is cast there as well, it's over. It's done. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no need for the judgment of God. And I praise the Lord for that. But angels are used to that. Look at 2 Kings 19. We just recently went through this on Wednesday night. It said, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That angel killed 185,000 in one swoop. Revelation chapter 7, the angels deliver much of God's judgment. Revelation chapter 7 verse 1 says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not be blown on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And Revelation 8:2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given the seven trumpets. And those then angels then administered the judgment of God. And so that's part of their role. Again, that's not going to be one of our roles. Is that sixth that I have here? Sixth is, or fifth, they deliver sixth. If I could see. Sixth, they deliver God's message. I didn't number them in my notes. They deliver God's message. They do that in a number of ways. I'll tell you this. They bring answers to prayer. They bring answers to prayer. Turn over to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. So remember this. Angel, angelos, the Greek word angelos, the Hebrew word malach, they just mean messenger. That's all that an angel is. They're a messenger. So this will be more fitting to the definition of an angel. They deliver God's message. They bring answers to prayer. Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Later, Peter says, I know now that this was an angel of God, once he realized that he had actually escaped and it wasn't a vision. So they bring answers to prayer. Could angels still do that today? They could. God's used them with that in the past, and they do. So they bring answers to prayer. They encourage believers. Look at Acts chapter 27. So again, you know what I would tell you to do? Let's see how we can do this today. We ought to be praising God. We ought to be worshiping God. We ought to be serving God. We ought to be accountable to God. We ought to be delivering God's message. We ought to be an answer to prayer. Can you be an answer to prayer? Somebody has a need. Maybe that'll be answered through you. They encourage believers. Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 23 and 24. It says, Paul says this, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Angel of God encouraged Paul. Looked like he would die, but he didn't. Angel of God came to him. I'm telling you this, you and I ought to be the same kind of people. We ought to be people that encourage one another. Now, you can't be as this angel did and say, you won't die. Okay, we can't do that. But we ought to be encouraging, say, how can I help you? What do you need? And be an encourager. See, I honestly think we ought to be growing and maturing in the Lord, so when we leave this earth, it's not such a huge chasm. Because we are believers, encouraging. They reveal information. Look over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, this great message by Stephen, right before he's stoned. It's, look at verse 52 and 53. Acts chapter 7, verse 52 and 53, they reveal information. It says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law, what? By the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. It looks like, based on this passage, angels were involved in the dispensing of God's word. I'm not saying in every time, in every case. Sometimes God dictated it. You gotta understand, the Bible wasn't just dictated by God. It's holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. And it looks like angels were involved at times as well. Pretty amazing, pretty neat. I'll just tell you these, you don't have to turn there, but Gabriel brought Zacharias the great message that your wife, Elizabeth, is gonna have John the Baptist. And he's gonna be the forerunner of Christ. He will prepare the way of the Lord. And so Gabriel came to Zacharias. Remember, Zacharias didn't believe him. Because he said, because you didn't believe me, you are not going to talk until he's born. And he didn't talk. And then remember, they came to Elizabeth normally the son would be called Zacharias, but it wasn't. And so they said, oh no, you're wrong, Elizabeth. It's not going to be John. What a dumb name. And so then they go to Zacharias and they go, what's going to be his name? And he gets out a tablet, John. And the Bible says immediately his tongue was loosed and he was able to praise the Lord. So Gabriel came unto him. Gabriel then, shortly after that, came to Mary, shortly after being 6 months after John was born. And so he came to Mary and Elizabeth went 6 months after John was born. But Gabriel came unto Mary and told Mary, you are highly favored among women. Mary was a sinner. Just like every other woman, Mary was a virgin until Jesus was born. After he was born, she had many children. The Bible actually lists their names. You can look at that in Matthew chapter 13 sometime later. But Gabriel came unto Mary. He revealed the information. He revealed the truth unto her. Then I think this would be seventh. I don't think this is underneath, or is it delivering God's message? I can't tell what my bullet points are. They administer God's provision. Is that separate? No, that's a subpoint. Okay. I can't even tell. Look over to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. So I want you to think about this. So they reveal information. Look, I think all of these we can do. Right? I mean, the Great Commission is that we share the gospel. We share the message of Christ. The angels, they're messengers. We can be an answer to prayer. We can encourage believers. We can reveal information. We can administer God's provision. We can be the answer to that. Look at Genesis chapter 21. This is when Hagar was cast out by Sarah. And God heard the voice of the lad, Ishmael. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God... Did I tell you Genesis 21, 17? Did I tell you that? I'm so sorry. I could tell. Genesis chapter 21, verse 17. He says in verse 17, you'll see, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad. And he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. This angel was a blessing, administered God's provision. I could turn to there as well. Look at, listen to 1 Kings 19. Listen to 1 Kings 19, verse 5 through 7. This is when Elijah was discouraged. Jezebel was chasing him. 1 Kings 18 was that great victory on Mount Carmel. And then immediately Elijah goes into deep depression. And God comes and ministers him. Listen to 1 Kings 19 verse 5 through 7. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So God sent an angel to Elijah, right? There's the only truth about the show, I never did see it, touched by an angel, is Elijah was touched by an angel. Boom, poked him. The one, smote Peter. It's kind of like, wouldn't you hate to be that? Imagine if these angels are powerful. It had to be like, just a little smiting, and they got his attention. But they provide God's provision. And then finally, they're ministering and protecting believers. Ministering and protecting believers. Turn over to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And in this, I'll also address, do each of us have a guardian angel? Not in Daniel, but that's one of the questions that people ask me, and so I haven't gotten to that yet. I probably should take a vote. Since you're getting that habit of voting, since this is the week. You know, how many of you think you have a guardian angel? Don't raise your hand. I was just kidding. Daniel chapter 6, verse 20 and 23, it says, "And when he, the king, came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God." Daniel chapter 6, verse 20, if I didn't tell you that. "Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Verse 21. "Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt." Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. So God sent an angel, shut the lions' mouths. Look over to Hebrews chapter 1, while you turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, I've only got a few more passages, and then I think we're done. I think I've held my promise, we'll find out. Hebrews chapter 1, I started with this passage last week. So Daniel, the angel, came and shut the lions' mouths. Hebrews 1 is probably the most summary passage for angels, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says in Hebrews 1, 13, 14, it says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" They are ministering spirits. Now, this verse is one verse that could lead you. Now look at this. What are angels for? They are sent forth to do what? To minister to whom? Believers. Christians. Right? And it also is interesting. Is it not interesting? It's sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. You know, it's, they're working on people that might not be saved yet, right? In terms of ministering to them, right? Now then look over to Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, my last passage today. So you take Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, then Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. They are ministering, they are protecting believers. And I particularly put believers. The only thing I see angels doing to lost people is killing them. So I'm sure there are examples that angels protected lost people, because I don't know, I'm thinking there is, but I can't find it in the Bible, right? So if you know of examples, you can tell me. I'm not saying I think I've tried to find it, but I can't. So ministering, protecting angels, Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 says this, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." That's interesting, isn't it? So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says that angels are sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation. So angels are sent forth to minister unto believers. And Jesus says that there are angels that... They're angels, right? These little ones, the kids. Angels. So, I can't tell you this. I can't tell you that there is a specific guardian angel for Steve Hott. But I can tell you this. It sure does appear clear to me. It looks like this, that there are angels here to minister unto us. That's clear. And it does appear that there's an assignment, does it? So, I'm not going to tell you that. I can't tell you this, that there's one that's assigned to Caleb. But I do know this, that the angels, one of their key roles is to minister unto believers. And the Bible calls and says little children have their angels. So, look, I don't think we have to say that definitively, right? That I have an angel after me. You know, I don't. I just know this, that... I really believe this, that we're surrounded right now by angels. I think there's a battle going on right now, and we just don't see it. I want to tell you this, twice this week I was dealing with different situations, and when situations get so crazy, this is important, I am not some kind of weird hocus-pocus kind of guy, right? But I'm just telling you, if your kids are acting really weird, unusual, you and your spouse are just like, it's like, you know, you're not getting along worse than usual, right? Things are weird. I think it's demonic activity. I will tell you, I think we under appreciate the spiritual battles going on. I believe this. There are three things I ask for every day, and I try to ask for them sincerely. I ask for wisdom. I ask for laborers, and I ask the Lord not to lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. He's promised me that He will answer those. And so I ask for Him every day. So I will tell you this. There are angels, innumerable, the Bible says, in Revelation. And if weird things are happening in your life, go to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm asking You to remove evil from my presence. I'm asking You to just get them out of here, and only You can do that. I am not telling you to rebuke demons or anything like that. I don't want Acts chapter 19 repeated on you. Go ahead and look at that sometime if you're wondering. But I believe in it. When your home is just weirder than weird, I'm telling you 9 times out of 10, it's because the devil's involved. And it's been good for me. I will tell you, I've only appreciated that in the last few years. And when I get on my knees and I sincerely ask the Lord to remove the presence, there's a difference. And I'm not asking for hocus pocus. I'm just telling you, angelic and demonic activity are real. But let's just look at these and I'll close in 30 seconds. I think that's what we're going to do in heaven. And I think that's what we should be doing here on earth. And so we say, what are we going to do in heaven? Well, what we should be doing here. We should be praising God, worshiping Him, serving Him, accountable to Him. I don't know about delivering God's judgment. Maybe if you have children. Just a few got that. Should have been greater laughter than that. Delivering God's message. And I think all the subpoints. We can be answers to prayer, encouraging believers, revealing the truth of God's Word, being part of God's provision, and then ministering and protecting believers. I think we're going to be doing the same thing we're supposed to be doing here. That's what I see the angels doing in heaven. And that's what I think we'll be doing as well. Let's pray.